Okay. Ignore the hand coming into the screen. Hey, Grace Point, how are you doing tonight? Praise the Lord. I am really excited. I've been praying, and I got a story I want to tell about hearing the voice of the Lord, but I think I got to save it for Sunday. It's really, really neat. But I think I'll save that for Sunday. Hey, Grace Point and anybody else that's listening, I hope you are doing fantastic tonight. Hope you're having a great day. I hope the Lord's been speaking to you. I know it's rainy on the outside, but it's sunny on the inside. Amen. When you have Jesus Christ, the sun is always shining. The Word says, arise and shine, for your light has come. So you can't cut your grass, but you can shine on the inside with Jesus. So I am really pumped up and excited. We're going to continue tonight in Romans chapter 5. We went over the beginning of Romans 5 last week, and we're going to move on. And I can't wait. I'm already like itching to get into Romans 6. Probably wind up doing Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, and I don't know about 9 and 10. But I really want to get into these. We've talked before on this, but I just think it's really important. You can't get enough of this stuff. So hope you're all doing good. Just one announcement. Just want to announce that May 31st is our official service, welcome back service. We won't have any children's ministry that day, just so you know that. I'm going to be making more announcements about that probably Sunday. I'll probably be sending out an email. The elders are meeting tomorrow night. We're going to finalize some thoughts and ideas that we have, and then I'll send out an email, and we'll broadcast Sunday kind of our plan moving forward. But May 31st, there have been some people coming in. I've had people ask on Facebook, hey, I hear there are people there. We have between 20 and 30. I don't know how many Sunday. If you want to come in Sunday and just social distance and set apart, whatever you feel comfortable doing, you're welcome, but we're not having an official service. It's a video service. We're just not making people turn around and go home. So can't wait to see you on May 31st. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to get back together. The Word says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. And the Word says, that's Hebrews 10:25. The Word also says they gathered daily and they were taught the apostles' doctrine. They broke bread. They had fellowship with one another. We know they prayed. So they were gathering daily. The body of Christ is a body. And of course, the church is more than just a group of people meeting together, but it is a group of people meeting together. The word ecclesia means a called out group of people and a body. And when we get together and meet, the actual word, the assembly, there's a Greek word that talks about the assembly of the saints. That means people called out together in a body. So we are made to meet together. We're made to have church together. We're made to grow together like a body. If you're a finger out there, your finger is not doing you any good, or the body any good at home. You may be a strong Christian. You may be enjoying your freedom. You may be having a great time in the Lord, but we need your finger in here. We need your muscle in here. We need it. Say, I'm strong. I don't need church. Well, we need you. If you're strong, we need you. So the body is tempered together, the Bible says, and fit together. We belong together, and we're stronger together. Pam, one will chase how many? 1,000. How many will two chase? 10,000. What about a whole body? Multiplied myriads that we will be chasing. Amen? So we can't wait to get back together. We need you. And we just think the church is going to grow and explode. And I am excited. I've been praying more. I've been in the Word more. And I just can't wait to get out some of the information and the stuff the Lord's been pouring into me. All right. Father God, thank you for anybody that's out there watching tonight. I pray that the joy that's in me, Lord, I just release it onto them. Let joy, the joy of the Lord, come on them, Father. Let your peace, let your goodness, let your freedom, let your liberty come on those that are listening. And I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to be upon every ear, whether they hear this message today or they hear it next week or they hear it 3 years from now, I pray that they'll have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and you'll open our hearts and minds to the truth of the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray to the Father. Amen. All right, so last week, Pam, we were reading in Romans chapter 5, and we're talking about the things that we have in the Lord, and I want to go a little further. I just wrote a few things down as I was meditating and going through the Word, things that I want you to leave tonight, Wednesday night Bible teaching. I'm not going to preach as far as I know, but here are things that I want you to leave knowing. Now, I know you already know them, but I want you to know them deeper, okay? I want you to be more certain of them. I want you to leave knowing that you're a new creation. You are not who you used to be. You were made a sinner, and the Word says now you are made righteous. You were an enemy of God, and now you're a friend of God. You're a new creation. Everything is new in your life. You have been, this is the key word, Tracy. I got two here. I got Minty on the camera tonight, Brian back there at the soundboard, and I've got Pam and Minty. So we got four people here tonight, and me makes five. You are a new person. You're born again. Old things have passed away, and everything in your life has been made new. You're not who you used to be. And I can't wait to get into Romans 6, Pam. Talks about how you died. You're not even, you don't even exist anymore. You have, the whole thing boils down to you have been born again. And you don't know how powerful, we don't know how powerful just that statement, being born again, how powerful that is. That means whatever you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Whatever you were died and is gone, and you have been born again. You're a new creation. And because you're a new creation, you have a new nature. That old sinful self was crucified with Christ on the cross, and it is dead. It's not going to be dead. You're not going to make it dead. Your old sinful self is dead. Tracy, that's why you don't enjoy sinning anymore. You know, it used to be so much fun going out and sinning, right? I remember I had so much fun sinning. When you gave my life to the Lord, sin just wasn't fun anymore. I had an appetite for righteousness. I had an appetite for Jesus. Old things passed away, and look, everything became new in my life. Now, I'm not saying you don't have a temptation or a struggle or battles, because I know we do. But even when we give in and we sin, we just don't enjoy it. Remember how good it used to feel when you get mad at somebody and you'd yell at them and you'd rant and rave and, you know, scream and shout. And you, now when you do that, how long does it take you to feel about that tall when you're all done? Yeah, Minty's saying that long. It feels good for a second, but then your new creation, your new nature is like, man, this just doesn't, I'm not getting any satisfaction. Pam, would you forgive me? I was wrong. Please forgive me. You know, we just got to get clean from that because we're a new creation. We have been born again with the Spirit of Christ. You have the life of the ages. That's eternal life. The life of the ages in you right now. I want you to leave today knowing that. Right now, you have the life of the ages. Therefore, because of those four facts, new creation, new nature, born again, life of the ages, therefore, right now, we learned last week, you have peace with God. Pam, you're not trying to get peace with God. You're not trying to earn peace with God. Because of Jesus Christ, because of these facts, right now, you have peace with God. You have righteousness before God right now. You have right now access to God by faith to superabundant grace. And there's a Greek word in there today we're going to go over. The word actually means hyper grace, or like hyperabundant, superabundant grace. You have access to God's superabundant grace, and that gives you the life of Christ in you right now. Now, I want you to leave knowing all those things, because If we know those things, if we know that we have righteousness, if we know that we have peace with God right now, our toiling and spinning is over. I'll tell you what happens when I really get a consciousness, and Christianity is a consciousness of God from the Spirit. When I really get a consciousness of everything God's done for me, and I understand it, it brings peace to me and rest. When I realize God loves me right now, that I don't have to do anything for God to love me. I don't have to do anything to walk into God's presence where He accepts me. Even if I feel like crud somehow, I feel bad, I still know I have peace with God. And I just accept that by faith. At any time, I can walk right into the presence of God. And when you can walk into the presence of God and fellowship with God, I tell you, man, things just, you begin to be able to enjoy God. You realize you're not an enemy of God. You are a friend of God. You are a daughter of God. You are a son of God. We can begin to enjoy God. And then as we're enjoying God, we're fellowshipping, He begins to give us revelation. Because we're at ease. We're not spinning. We're not toiling. Our minds aren't fretting and worrying and sinning and blocking ourselves, right, through unbelief and doubt and fear. We're relaxed. We're at ease in His presence. We're at peace. So now we can walk in. It's like this. If you're a child, and say your kid walked up to you, and they didn't have peace, or they were anxious, and they were like, "Hey, Dad, is everything okay? Can I do anything for you, Dad? Are you and Mom doing okay? Can I go get something for you? Am I okay? Does my hair look okay? Do I have the right shirt on? Do you think my shoes are okay? Dad, are you going to take me to the ball game? Did I do anything wrong? Maybe you don't want to take me. Maybe I need to go out and cut the grass, or maybe I can do the dishes, or Dad, maybe I can do..." And your dad says, "No, just sit down." "Well, I can't sit down, Dad. Do you really love me, Dad? Do you really care about me? What do you need? What do you want me to do?" And you're constantly trying to please your parents. You're never going to enjoy their fellowship. But if you go into Mom and Dad and say, "Hey, what's up, Dad? What's going on?" And you sit down and fellowship with your dad. You talk to him. Your dad's teaching you. You have peace with your dad. Say, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to go get a pop. Is that okay?" "He had get two. Grab some chips while you're at it and bring me some. Let's watch a movie. Let's hang out together. Let's have fellowship. Let's have a good time. Oh, and by the way, when you get up in the morning, I need you to cut the grass." Amen? Right? "Oh, sure, Dad." And then you and your dad sit down and watch Saving Private Ryan together, knock back a Coke, eat some potato chips. You have fellowship with one another. And your dad says, "Oh, by the way, I bought you a new tractor. You can cut the grass on your riding lawnmower. It's only going to take you about an hour. I'm making life better for you. How do you like that, son?" You see the difference? I hope that makes sense to you. Does it make sense, Pam, what I'm saying? One is a relationship based on love, camaraderie, mutual respect, give and take, back and forth. One's the dad. He's got chores for you to do. But you're loving Dad, you're enjoying the movie together, you're enjoying your time together, you're just happy to go out and cut the grass. You get in from cutting the grass and your dad says, "Oh, hey, here's $10. Why don't you and your friend go up to the arcade and watch videos together?" You know what I mean? You're in a love relationship with your dad. It's a great relationship, okay? Or you could be in a fear-based relationship, never sure if your mom and your dad love you, never sure if you're good enough. Mentee, does that make sense? I'm not trying to overblow it, but that's exactly what it's like. When we rest in the gospel, when we rest in the good news about what Jesus has done for us, okay, and understand we have been made right with God. We're right. You're okay. You can come unto me and have rest. And I'll give you rest. Just relax. I know you messed up yesterday. I'm not mad about it. Let me help you. I see you're struggling with your anger, with your temper, with your self-esteem. Let me help you. Let me show you how I see you. Let me show you what I've done for you. Let's sit down and talk. Come on, let's reason together. Though your sins be red like crimson, hey, look, I've made them white as snow. Just chill. Fall apart in my backyard. Enjoy yourself. I want to communicate. Do you see that? That's what your loving Father wants. When we believe the gospel, we can enter into rest, we can enter into peace, we can know who we are, Man, when that happens, all of a sudden it's good news. You want to share good news with other people. I'm convinced a lot of times the reason people don't share Jesus with their friends is they're not enjoying Jesus. You ever date an ugly guy, girls? You ever date a guy and he's ugly, or date a guy you're not very proud of him? You're just kind of dating him just because you don't have anybody else. You don't want anybody to know. You're hiding him in the corner, you know. You're looking out for somebody else, you know. Guys, you ever date some girl you didn't really like, you're not proud of her, you don't want anybody to know, you're kind of dating her? I knew one person one time, Pam and I knew somebody. This guy married her and said, don't tell anybody. Remember? You would remember if I tell you. You remember what I'm talking about? I'll remind you. It's like, don't tell anybody we're married. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if he's ashamed of her. He was hiding her in the cupboard, what he was doing. But he didn't want anybody to know that he was married to her. Don't tell. Well, how long do you think their marriage lasted? I think it lasted a month or two. How long? Year? Maybe it lasted a couple years. That type of marriage is not going to last. Because it wasn't a good relationship. He wasn't proud of her. The whole thing was wrong. He was hiding. No. When we really begin to enjoy Jesus, we begin to enjoy our relationship with him, our rights and privileges in him, and fellowship with him, we're naturally going to want to share him. It's not a burden. You know, the word God says in 1 John that his commandments are not burdensome. And if you're in a love relationship with God, his commandments aren't burdensome. They're only burdensome if you're not walking in a love relationship. You know, I love my wife. I love my wife. I'm proud of her. I am not ashamed of her. Our relationship, it is not burdensome for me to do nice things for Pam because I love her. You know, I guess if I didn't love her and I just was thinking about myself and I wasn't in a love relationship with her, it might be hard to do stuff for her. I never minded getting up early, 3 o'clock in the morning and going into FedEx and going to work and bringing money home and making sure my wife had food on the table, we had clothes and support. I love my kids. I wanted to provide for them. That wasn't hard for me because I was in a love relationship. Well, that's how it is with Jesus. When we really turn on to Jesus, we really realize how good he is when we realize the goodness of the gospel, that Jesus has paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow, you know, all to Jesus. You know, all to him I freely give. When we really understand that he paid the total price, he said it's finished, and we come into rest, we come into righteousness consciousness, we come into the reality that we've been made righteous, we come into the reality that we have peace with God. Man, we want to share that with people. You know, when you ever get sick and you believe God and you get healed, right? You get that revelation understanding. You start feeling sickness and you come on and you receive your healing. Maybe you rebuke it and you realize that you didn't get sick. You're going to want to tell somebody about that, right? So when you walk in the reality of it, it's exciting. When you begin to take Jesus as your joy, okay? I know I'm belaboring this point, but I want to make the point that there are treasures and joy and there's wealth and there's goodness and there's grace in Jesus. And he wants you to know that. The word says that we are no longer slaves. Pam, Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that you have been set free. Do not be entangled again in the yoke of religion. Bondage. That's what he's talking about, religion. Don't be entangled again in law-based religion. Do's and don'ts. Don't do this, do that. Don't eat this, don't eat that. Don't be entangled in law-based religion. Be in a loving freedom consciousness relationship that will produce righteousness in your life. It is for freedom that you've been set free. Jesus has set you free. You're no longer under bondage. You're no longer, Paul said in Romans 8, that you don't have a spirit of bondage again to fear. But we get this, Minty, get this. This is what this actually is the scripture for what I said about the dad. It says, we don't have a spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have a spirit that cries out, Daddy God. We have a spirit that cries out, Abba Father, or Papa Father, Daddy Father, or Papa, I like saying Papa God. Papa God. We have a spirit inside of us that calls God Daddy, Abba Father. Not a spirit of bondage. Abba, Father. Daddy, Father. Hey, Daddy. Hey, Papa. Let's go watch Saving Private Ryan. That's what I was talking about. That's the spirit we have. Let go of the bondage of performance-based religion. There's a lot of things that God does want you to do, Pam, and He will lead you to do, but He wants to do it based on His grace, based on His Spirit inside of you, based on the power of the Holy Spirit, and based on the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. I have said, lovers, and you've heard me preach this before, lovers will outwork law-based people, religious people, every single time. When I'm walking in liberty and freedom, I share my faith. I could share it with 50 people in one day and not think anything of it. When I'm walking under legalism and bondage, it'd be a struggle just to share it with one person. It'd be frightening. So what am I encouraging you to? I'm encouraging you to what we taught last week about accepting the fact that you have peace with God, accepting the fact that you have access to God right now, and through faith, you have access to His grace right now. We're going to get into that grace just here in a second. We're in Romans 5:12. We're going to get into it. I'm not going to be here all night teaching, but I just feel like it's really important for those of you out there that are laboring and not enjoying your faith. I know some of you are, but maybe some of you aren't. We are meant to love God and enjoy Him forever. You ever think about that? You're supposed to enjoy God. Isaiah 55, it says, Ho, everyone that's thirsty, come. Get water, bread without cost, you know. Get water and bread without cost. Get food and drink. It doesn't there's no cost to it. Come. Come drink of the water of life freely, it says in Revelations 22. It says, come drink of the water of life freely. Come. Hey, I'm knocking at your door. If anybody opens up, I'll come in and I'll sup with them. We'll sit down and we'll have a meal together. Does having a meal together sound like law-based religion? It sounds like relationship, doesn't it? He wants to come down and eat with you. He wants to come down and feast with you. The Word says that He brought you into His banqueting table. That means He wants you to eat. And His banner over you is love. Didn't say His banner over you is the Ten Commandments. When you get Jesus' banner over you, those Ten Commandments will get down in your heart. You'll do those without even thinking. That'll be the last of your concern is doing the Ten Commandments. You'll be doing the 1,000 Commandments. You'll be a soul winner. You'll be laying hands on sick people. The last thing you'll be thinking about is breaking one of the Ten Commandments. When you sit down at His banqueting table, His banner over you is He loves you. Accept it. Believe it. Revel in it. And when you sit at His banqueting table, He says, about the feast of God, He says, come. He says, look, come. Eat the fat. Eat it. Drink the sweet. This is all scripture I'm giving you. Now I'm preaching out of Nehemiah. He says, eat the fat. Drink the sweet. Drink the Coke. Get that big ribeye. Eat the fat, okay? And then send portions to those that don't have any. Tracy, go down to the vertical building. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet, and then take what you got that God's blessed you with and go give it to those that don't have any. That's what He wants you to do. I want you to enjoy your relationship with me. I want you to feast on me. I want you to sup with me. I want you to eat the fat, drink the sweet, and then go give to somebody else. That's God's whole way, and that's His whole economy. And guys, this is not a pipe dream. It comes with ceasing. Now, this is Hebrews 4:10. It comes through ceasing from your own labors and entering into his rest, entering into his finished work, entering into his love. You get up in the morning, Pam, you walk in there and you say, Papa Father, Papa God, good morning. You know, I just want to hang out with you this morning. What do you got to say? You get in the Word, you say, Holy Spirit, open my eyes to this book. Teach me today. Show me something. Help me to walk in the Spirit. I believe what that little preacher was saying, but I'm not getting it to work in my life. Help me to get this stuff to work. And you pray in tongues for a while. Now listen, I'm not ashamed of tongues one iota. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, he or she that prays in an unknown tongue speaks mysteries to God. No one understands them, howbeit they speak mysteries in the Spirit. Paul says, I thank God I do it more than ye all. It's a good thing. The Lord was reminding me of this yesterday. It's a good thing to pray in tongues in the church. If you do it in the church out loud, then you need an interpreter because no one understands you. And he said, if there's no interpreter, pray to yourself and to God. That means you're supposed to do it, Tracy. Just pray to yourself. It says it. And to God. Read it. It's in there. In the church. But Paul wants you to know when you're praying in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries to God. You're building yourself up in your faith. You're praying out mysteries. You're praying out revelation. That's why I say you should be praying in tongues at least a little. If you have the ability to do that, you should be doing it every day at least a little bit, letting your spirit pray out mysteries to God. Let the Lord lead you. Let the Spirit take predominance in your life. Allow the Spirit to teach you. Allow the Spirit to pray through you. Allow the Spirit to speak. Amen? Man, don't be ashamed of it. People say, are you one of the tongue talkers? You say, yeah, aren't you? Yeah, I am, aren't you? Why not? Well, I just don't believe. Well, here, read what the Bible says about it. You can build yourself up to God. You can speak mysteries in the faith and build yourself up. You ought to do it. It's available. Oh my, you don't do it? What's wrong with you? Turn it on him is what I'm saying. Turn it on him. It's a joy. Why am I saying that? I'm talking about relationship. I'm talking about fellowshipping with Jesus in the Word of God and in prayer, knowing who you are. Understand that you have a walk in the Spirit. You have a walk of power. You are a daughter. You are a son of God. The Bible says in John 1:12 that God has given you the authority. God has given you the right. God has given you the power to be a son of God. Pam, that's powerful. Right now, Tracy, you're a daughter of God. Right now, you have a robe on and a ring on. It's powerful stuff. Well, where'd you learn all this? I'm just telling you what the Word says. This is what the Bible says. Let's read this together. Oh, Jesus. Anybody having fun? I'm having a blast, man. I tell you, I just came in here with so much joy. I've been talking to the Lord. Me and the Lord have been having a good time hanging out today. Romans 5:12. Get this, okay? Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man. Tracy, who's that one man? Do you know? Sin entered the world through what one man? Adam. Very good, Tracy. And death came through sin. So sin came into the world. Was it your sin that brought death into the world? No, it was Adam's sin that brought death into the world. Okay. And this way, because of Adam, death came to all men, and all men, because all men sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Always saying here, saying sin was in the world because of Adam, and because of Adam, death was in the world, and because of Adam, all men sinned, then therefore all men died. That's spiritual death and physical death. Everybody. He said, even though there wasn't a law, there was still sin. See, you can't break a transgression unless there's a law, right? Like the law, don't commit adultery. In order to break a law, you have to have a law. Thou shalt not commit adultery, right? Is it still wrong to commit adultery? Yes, it's still wrong, even if no one's given the law. And that's what Paul's saying here. Even though there was no law, there was still sin in the world. All right. He said, death reigned from the time of Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a commandment, as did Adam, who was a pattern of him who is to come. But the gift is not like the trespass, for if many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many sins and brought righteousness or justification. For if by the trespass of Adam, one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness rule like kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what he's saying here. You read this, and I encourage you to read it over and over and over again till you get down what he's saying. He's talking about identification. Did you ask to be born a sinner? Did anybody in here ask to be born a sinner? No. You were born a sinner because Adam sinned. And Adam was a representative man. When Adam sinned, his DNA fell into sin. His genetics, everything about him fell into sin. He died spiritually. He was no longer alive to God. He broke fellowship. And now everybody that was birthed after Adam was born a sinner. Born in sin. And we were identified to Adam. You didn't earn being an Adam. You didn't have to try to be a sinner. Okay? You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. You were born a sinner. And because you were born a sinner, you were made a sinner, you just sinned as a natural result. What do sinners do? They sin. And even if there wasn't a law, you know, you'd still be sinning even if there wasn't a law. But until God gave the law, there was no law, so there couldn't be a trespass. In other words, until they put a speed sign out there that says 55, you could go 1,000 mile an hour down the street, it would still be a sin because you could kill somebody, right? But you wouldn't be breaking any law, even though it'd still be a sin. It'd be wrong, right? So all men in Adam were made sinners. Now the gift of God, the gift of righteousness, he's saying, he's really drawing a comparison. As in Adam, all men were made sinners. Now in Christ, and this is in verse 19, all men and women in Christ are made righteous. Made righteous. Last week we learned you were declared righteous. We know from chapter 4 you were credited righteousness. Now Paul is saying that because of what Jesus did, when you put your faith in him, you are made righteous. It's the same thing that we've been, turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Look at it. I said I wasn't going to rush through this stuff. I want you to get this stuff. You don't work for righteousness. When you read through this, you will see that it says righteousness is a gift. It's called the gift of righteousness. God credits you the righteousness of Jesus. He actually immerses you into the Spirit of Jesus, gives you the Spirit of Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That Spirit is righteous. You are born again. You now have the Spirit of Christ. That's a righteous spirit inside of you. Someone say amen. You don't work for it. You work from it. God is at work in you to will and to do. God is at work in you to will. You don't work for righteousness, you work from righteousness. You have to understand you have been declared and you have been made righteous. Where did I tell you to turn? 2 Corinthians 5:20. Would you read that, Pam? Go ahead, read that, Pam.
For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, right? Read that. That we might become the righteousness of God. And those last two words are important, in him. It's a gift. It wasn't earned. It's our identity. It's who we are. We were sinners in Adam. We've been translated. We've been put, baptized into Christ. And now we are clothed with his righteousness. And actually, we're going to learn next week that you actually died, the old man you used to be, the old anthropos, that's the Greek word, mankind or man, the old anthropos you used to be, the old man you used to be, died with Christ. And now you've been born again. You're a new person. You've been raised up alive to God, and you're a new person. And you know how he tells you to activate that? We'll get into it next week. The way you activate that in your life is by believing it. By faith. You believe it. You declare it. You walk in it. So now, Paul was telling you, you've changed families. Your daddy, okay, in Ephesians 2:3 says, you were by nature children of wrath, even as others, Pam. You were a child of wrath. That's who you used to be. But you have changed families now. You used to have, your old family used to be, you had an abusive father. You had an irresponsible mother, didn't love you. They didn't take good care of you. You know, you were the sin, family of sinners, all these issues and problems. That was your old family. You were in the family of Satan. Now you have a new dad, and your new father loves you. And your new father has clothed you in righteousness. And your new father is going to provide for you. Your new father has declared you good in his sight. You have peace. Everything I said before about Abba Father or Papa God, that all pertains to you. You're in a new family. And sometimes we still have the habits and the attitude and the thinking from our first mom and dad, Satan. We were beat down. We were browbeaten. We were criticized. We were insulted. We were mistreated. Maybe we were abused. You know, we were made fun of. We were left to figure things out on our own. Maybe we weren't well fed, well clothed. And so we're now translated into a new family. And it's just hard to believe that because we have old thoughts and old thinking and old ways, it's just hard to believe that our dad really loves us. It's hard to believe that he cares for us. It's hard to believe that we've really been made righteous. We have to renew our mind to the reality that we're not in the old family anymore. Tracy, you now have access to the refrigerator. Whereas before, they had chains around that refrigerator and you weren't allowed to get in there. Now that refrigerator is wide open. You have total access. You've got a Coke in there with your name on it. Amen? You've got a beautiful bed and a bedroom with stuffed animals. You used to sleep in a corner or in a closet. And in your new family, you've got a beautiful bed. You have access. God has provided for you. But we, in our minds, we can hardly believe that this could be true about us because we still think about ourselves as that old person that we used to be. The old family we used to belong to. And the Christian walk is about a constant renewing of our mind, a constant changing of our thinking. The more secure that we get in God and his righteousness and that we have peace with God, the more secure we get in that, the more we grow. We become whole. We're not fragmented anymore. We don't have to try to prove ourselves anymore. We don't have to kind of bite and claw and fight in war. We know that we're loved. We know that we're accepted in the beloved. We know that we have a place. We know we don't have to fight. Your papa, your dad, Tracy, has left you an inheritance, and nobody can take it away from you. It belongs to you. And what belongs to you, no one can take from you. You don't have to claw or fight or try to get that last piece of meat, you know, at the table. God has set you a plate, and that plate is for you and you only. You become the righteousness of God. Listen to some of this language. I want to read a little bit from the Passion Translation. Pam, am I making sense? Are you getting what I'm saying? You are a new person, whether you realize it or not. That new person that you are is Christ. It's Christ. Christ lives in you. That's your new spirit. That's the new man that you're putting on. It's Christ, the Spirit of Christ in you. You're putting him on. That's what you're renewing your mind to. You're renewing your mind to the fact that you're the righteousness of God now, that you have access now, that God's going to provide for you now, that God's bringing peace into your life and joy. You can relax. No one can take your assignment. Are you called to be a preacher? No one can take your assignment. If God's given it to you, no man can take it away. The reason we feel insecure about our assignment is if we believe that we're responsible for it. If we fight and claw and war to get our assignment or to get our position, we're going to worry about it. But if you know that God lays things out in front of you, he says, I'm laying out a two-leaf gate, and he says, no one can shut that door. I'm going to open up a two-leaf gate for you, and nobody can shut that door. When I open a door, no man can shut it. When I shut a door, no man can open it. God has an inheritance for you. God has an assignment for you. God has purpose for your life. You say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my assignment is. Snuggle up to Jesus. Rest. Get in a relationship with him. Enjoy him. Be like Martha, or Mary, rather. Get at his feet and worship him. He'll tell you your assignment. Love Jesus. Worship him. Serve him with gladness. Okay? He'll tell you what your assignment. You have one. You have a purpose. You have a mission. You've been declared righteous. You have peace with God. There's something for you at the table, and no one can take it from you. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to war for it. If someone tries to come in and steal what belongs to you, God, if you handle it right and you pass the test, God will give you something better. Remember that, you know, the girl that they came in, they stole this girl's dress. She was going to wear it to the prom. She had a hand-me-down dress. It was a beautiful dress, and she was going to wear it to the prom. And someone came in and stole it from her, and she was crying because she didn't have a prom dress. And she had a loving father and said, don't worry about that. He said, that was a hand-me-down dress. So go ahead and let your sister, the one that took it, go ahead and let her have it. I'm going to go out and buy you a new one. That's what God will do for us. You don't have to worry and fret about your position and about, you know, running to and fro. No, God has a plan. God has a purpose. You have an inheritance in God. You walk in God, and you enjoy God, and you enjoy your relationship with him, and